Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. I'm David Haynes, and I'm joined today by Thomas Majors. Thomas, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, David. It's been so long since I've seen you.
Man, it is so good to see you again, buddy.
It's been all of 2 or 3 seconds there for us.
That is right. So, man, I am glad that we're going to get to talk about something that we enjoy doing and what we enjoy preparing. You know, Thomas, you and I like to prepare. We like to eat. We like to prepare to eat. We like to grill. So let's talk just for a little bit. How do you prepare steaks to grill?
All right. So what I do with my steaks that I've been doing here recently. Yeah. Now, I've done it many different ways over the years. But here recently, I take coarse salt, coarse ground pepper, and a little bit of fine garlic powder, and I sprinkle them. Now, it's almost a crust with the black pepper.
Yeah.
And I put that on the steaks. I put them on a wire rack, and then I put them in the refrigerator to allow that salt to penetrate inside of it. And I put them in there for, you know, a period of at least 4 hours to 6 hours or so. And then I take them out cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
And put them on the grill cold.
Absolutely. All right. Now, what type of grill are you using? Gas or charcoal?
Gas or charcoal. I'm using a pellet grill. I'm using fake wood.
Yeah.
So I have a pellet grill. It's a Yoder smoker, and it's technically a smoker, but I have one of the grates on it that you can pull out this cover, and the flames from the fake pellets come up, and it's more like a wood-fired grill sense.
I got you. So for a number of years, I did gas grill, and I got back on charcoal grilling. So I enjoy it. And so we alternate. All right, so first, let me mention this. Whenever I grew up, I remember my dad, he would often do a Dale's and Coca-Cola mixture and marinated the steaks in that. So nostalgia for me is a steak that has Dale's sauce, you know, it's been marinated in the Dale's sauce. So, man, I like that. April and I usually alternate. We will do maybe a Dale's marination every other time or every third time. We've got into this dry rub stuff too. I enjoy some of those grilling seasonings, you know, that you can get Kinders or however you say, Kinders, whatever you want to say. And dude, there are some really good stuff. And my preferred cut of meat is ribeye. What is your preferred cut?
My preferred is ribeye as well. Uh-huh. Now, but I just knew you were going to say it was pineapple juice.
Okay, so last night we met up with Pastor Friend and his wife, and we went to Harvey's in Tupelo, Mississippi, and Harvey's marinated ribeye is heavy with pineapple flavoring. And you and I have done this before. We have used pineapple juice as a tendering mechanism.
And it's really good. And if you don't, and like, I don't wash it all off. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to wash it off and wash it real good, you know, and so it doesn't leave that sweet taste. But I like the sweet taste.
It is really good. Yes. And that Harvey's marinated steak has that sweet pineapple flavor. It is good, man.
But you know why you use pineapple, right?
Why's that?
Because it has something in it that begins to break down the meat and the muscles.
It does. Yeah.
I think it was the second time I went to Haiti. I was in Haiti and we got there, and for one of the first things I do when I get to a country that has fresh pineapple is I stop and get me pineapple, cut it, start eating it.
Yeah.
And here I am, I'm eating pineapple. Yeah. I'm eating pineapple like every few minutes I'm taking a bite of pineapple. Well, after a little bit, my tongue started to kind of go numb and tingle, almost like a vibrating kind of feeling in my tongue. And I was like, I've gotten a bad pineapple. I immediately started thinking, I think they sprayed this pineapple.
Oh.
And it's got some kind of insecticide.
So there's a chemical that has now affected your tongue. Yeah.
No. Come to find out, it was the pineapple juice breaking down the meat of my tongue. because that's what it does. And yeah. if you eat too much pineapple, it will begin yeah. to yeah. eat away at your tongue. And gotcha. That's what you're feeling is yeah. that tingling of the chemical reaction happening on your tongue.
Man, that is interesting.
But it was worth it. I mean, I'm just telling you, that pineapple was so good.
Yeah. All right. So the one thing we know is that our individual preparations for preparing a steak for grilling is different.
Yes,
yeah, different. And it changes. What you and I do right now, 12 months from now, we may not do the exact same thing. We may do something differently, but the end result is the same. When we prepare a steak, we want to eat that steak. We want to enjoy eating that steak. That's the result. Preparing the food, eating the food. All right, Thomas, this podcast is not exactly about the preparation of ribeye steaks for consumption. This podcast is about preparing for revival. Right. How do we as pastors prepare for revival services? How do we lead our churches in the preparation for revival services? All right, so Thomas, at the time of this recording, in just a few weeks, the church where you serve, Ingomar Baptist Church, will be having a revival. Y'all be having revival services. Right, yeah. And so you have been in the throes of preparing for revival. So what's the first thing that you want to do when preparing for a revival?
Well, let me just say that you see me marking off something on my list. Mm-hmm. You know, how we prepare for these is we throw out a topic and mm-hmm. then we kind of write down a few things.
Yeah.
And so by what you said a moment ago, changes a little bit of what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Because one of my questions was going to be, how do we prepare for a revival? Is that me and preaching the revival or me as pastor?
Oh, I gotcha.
For the revival.
I gotcha.
Planning it in that sense.
And I think these are two different podcast topics is what I think.
Too.
Yes,
yeah.
We need to do one on how we as preachers preach revival, prepare for revival services.
Right, yeah. And how you pick those yeah. messages and yeah.
Oh man, there's a lot to that. So yeah, so from the perspective of a pastor, that's what this podcast is going to be about. How do we as pastors prepare for revival that somebody else is going to come in and preach? And then how do we lead our people in the preparation of that revival service?
All right, so automatically, and this is not a spiritual Christian answer to it. I mean, literally, it begins with prayer. There's the idea. Now, I'm not a pastor who says, well, the church has got to have a revival every year. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with us going some time or even a calendar year without having a revival. And by revival, I'm talking about, you know, specific worship type services that happen usually for us on a Sunday morning that continue through Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and some places yeah. even do it through Thursday or Friday night. They mm-hmm. might do a 7-day revival. It might be a 5-day revival.
Yeah.
It could be a revival that begins on Monday night, it goes through Friday yeah. night.
Or even begin on Thursday night and go through Sunday morning. That's some
but usually that. In the sense that I use the word revival services, I'm thinking of special worship services that hopefully do two things, right? Mm-hmm. That hopefully are used to draw people to salvation or mm-hmm. are going to be used to revive the people and to do the work of the ministry or revive them in their devotional aspect, something
yeah.
along those ways. All right. So it really begins with prayer.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It yep. begins with prayer because I want to begin to pray and say, Lord, is this something that you want us to do?
Yeah.
Or is this something that I just feel like it needs to be done?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to begin to pray over that. And then for me, it's going to be the second thing is going to be timing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I start praying about, all right, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Mm-hmm. Lord, when do you want us to have that? And then usually, because once I figure out those two things, all the other things begin to fall in place. But I know some people who do it the exact opposite.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
And they do it the exact opposite in that they will begin to pray and ask, Lord, who do you want to come? And then they work around the time based on that.
That's right. And I respect that option. If the Lord is leading you to a specific preacher and you're convinced God wants you to have that preacher, get in touch with that preacher and say, what week do you have open? What Sunday morning through Wednesday night or whatever the time frame is, when can you come? Because if you want that certain guy, you have to work with his schedule. So you and I do something very similar. What you're talking about, the way that you prepare through prayer is what I do. So I agree with what you've just said. Let me give a little bit of history. The first church that I served way back in 05, from 05 to 10, if memory serves me correctly, we did two revivals. They did a spring revival and a fall revival. And dude, you'll go through all of your good preaching buddies quickly.
Yes, you will.
Because me and you only have like one good preaching friend. That's about it. You'll burn through them boys quick. So the second church I went to, we did an annual revival. The second church, sometimes we did that in the fall. Sometimes in the spring, it wasn't set. And then whenever I went to Trinity Baptist, I landed on the revival services would start the Sunday after Easter. So wherever Easter was, that next Sunday, it would that's when we would do revival. And I liked that because you get to really promote it heavily up to Easter. Easter is typically one of the largest attended yep. services, and then you can roll right into that. However, I noticed while I was at Trinity Baptist, that Sunday after Easter sometimes wasn't well attended because everybody and their brother was just at church the previous Sunday. You know, some good folks only going to come to church one Sunday a month.
No.
And so whenever I moved to First Baptist Senatobia, I said, okay, I want to do things differently. I want to have the revival in the fall. And so we aim at fall, like that last week of September. That's when we've only had one revival, you know, since I've been at Senatobia. It was very well attended. You closed out that week on that Wednesday night, and the service for you was the largest attended. A, the preacher was fantastic, and then B, we have a really good Wednesday night crowd. And so everybody came that night. Dude, it was packed out. I think we had like
full
350. You know, maybe 350 something for that Wednesday night service. It was a really good service. And so at First Baptist, whenever I went there, I wanted to ask about their history. Hey, historically, how often have you guys had revival? If it had been twice a year, I could work within that. Once a year, I could work within that. They said, well,
As needed. That's the approach I like.
That I like this. And so in 24, we had we had a homecoming in 24. In 25, we had a revival. In 26, we're having a homecoming. And Lord willing, in 27, we will have a revival. So I'm right now in that phase of praying through, Lord, is this what you want? Is this what we need? And I understand we're 13, 14 months out right now at the time of this recording from a revival service, but you never start praying early enough, you know?
Can I tell you one of the most human, worldly things that I do when I'm planning services like that at the church?
Yeah. What's that? What do you do?
I look at the football schedules for Mississippi State and Ole Miss.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Where are they at? Where are they playing? Who theoretically can be here? Yep.
I do. And just to be honest, I mean, some people say, well, that's taking the Holy Spirit out of it. Uh-huh. And I've just admitted it's a very human, worldly thing that I think I do, but
it's practical.
But it's very practical. Yeah. And I've experienced in my ministry over the years that if you don't take that into consideration, that some people who would normally be at some of these services and who you probably want to be
absolutely
at these services will not be at those services.
That's right. And something else that you can consider are high school sports schedules.
Yes.
If it's baseball, football, basketball season, soccer, whatever it is, cross country, think about those days, think about those students, and you could even think about the times. Like, you could start a revival service at 6, or you could start it at 7. If you started at 7, would that allow students who are practicing until 6:10 or 6:15, would it allow them a chance to be in those services? We want the most people to be affected spiritually by these revival services. We want there to be more people there and more people to be affected by these. So yeah, absolutely. So we take into consideration those things.
All right. So we're talking about timing of revivals. Mm-hmm. I've never had a revival. Well, let me rephrase that. Let me back up. Tipplersville Baptist Church had it in their bylaws. Revival must begin the first Sunday of August every year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I preached one of those for you. It was that first Sunday in August, buddy.
First Sunday in August. But that's pretty rare that it's spelled out, outlined in the bylaws like that to have a revival at a specific time. It must begin then.
Yeah.
But there's not too many revivals happening in summer or winter.
That is correct.
Why?
Why? I think it's because of summer, you have vacation. You have the vacation season. Winter, you have low light. Winter, the sun goes down at 5:15-ish. That's what I think. I think that's why they want to aim at more populous times.
Which would be, for us in Mississippi, definitely spring. Mm-hmm. And fall. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of revivals happen around that springtime or that fall time. I think, I always think back to Jerry Brauner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Holly Baptist Church. He was a deacon there. He was the chairman of the pastor search committee that called me. You know Jerry Brauner in a different way.
He paddled me whenever I was in eighth grade. And my daddy believed in that. Boy, if you get a whooping at school, you're going to be getting a whooping at home, too. And I'd go, Daddy, I got a whooping at school today. Believe it or not, I had said something I should not have said. Shockingly, and Jerry Brauner lit me up 3 licks to the old backside.
And so did your dad call Jerry Brauner to spank you when you got home, too?
That's right.
Oh, or your dad did.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep.
Jerry Brauner, he said to me one time, and it's just always stuck with me. And man, he had such wisdom.
Yeah.
He said, in springtime, when the sap begins to rise, people are ready to get back to work. They're ready to try some new things.
Gotcha.
And he said, just watch it. Anytime the sap rises and the leaves begin, he said, people are wanting to get back.
Uh-huh.
Get back to doing. Get back to whatever. And so I think we pick spring revival sometimes because of that idea of renewal, refreshing. Right there, you have a great Christian observance with Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. And it's a good way to bring people back, get them started back. They want to after that lull of winter when that sap rises, the spiritual sap begins to rise in them too until summer bakes it out.
All right, so Thomas, how summer bakes it out?
I was wondering if you were going to...
You don't have good sense, man. Oh, that is so funny. All right. So, Thomas, how do you settle on who is going to preach the revival or which preachers will preach this revival? So let's kind of talk about having a revival service with one speaker and then having a revival service with multiple speakers. So how do you settle on the person?
All right. This is my first revival service at Ingomar Baptist Church that I'm planning. I am going all in with a preacher who I know is going to come and preach evangelistically. And as long as the church responds to those evangelistic messages, it's going to be hammered. Week, service by service, it's going to be hammered evangelistically, as long as they're responding.
Yep.
But if they begin not to respond to those, he'll change.
Yep.
So I'm going all in, and Dr. Kenny Digby's coming to pre-charge because I know him. I've heard him. I've seen, I know his theory and philosophy behind preaching. Mm-hmm. So I'm picking him, you know, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I know what kind of preacher he's going to do, the job he's going to do, and the emphases he's going to bring.
And so, which Kenny is a good friend of both of ours.
Right.
And he has greatly influenced the way that I preach revivals. Now you and I don't preach as many revivals as Kenny.
Right.
Man, Kenny was a full-time evangelist for a number of years. Dr. Digby has faithfully served in that way, and he often preaches revivals. But I like what he does. Basically, come in with your strongest, best salvation sermon. And honestly, if a revival starts on Sunday morning may be the best attended service. It very well may be, and you want to knock the top out of that. And so for me, unless the Lord says, do not preach that, my strongest sermon that I probably preached 18 or 20 times is Knowing the Unknown God. And I'm going to come in with, when you know, Paul is telling the people in
Areopagus,
I'm going to come in, and that's going to be my first one. And basically what Kenny does is, if a service, if a salvation message is preached and no one responds with salvation, that he views that as the Lord telling him to move on to spiritual discipline, spiritual education, whatever
right.
it is.
Yeah.
Let's teach the church for the remainder of this revival. So I think that's a very good idea.
Right. And this idea of ranking things, you know, the last podcast I talked about ranking things.
Yeah.
The idea of ranking things in my mind, I guess, really began with Dr. Digby. And it was in a class that I was in with him. He was teaching it. And he said, I got a number one sermon. Mm-hmm. I preach it every time. The first time I go to that church, this is the sermon I preach. And then he said that he preached one time and his mom said, that's a great sermon. You should preach that everywhere you go. And he said, I decided then I was going to make that my number two, you know, and he ranked his sermons from number one to number two based upon certain criteria.
Yeah.
And so that got me to thinking, you know, I need to do that as well.
Yeah.
He is just really good with that. So I'm looking for a person who I think can speak to the needs, mm-hmm. the spiritual needs of the church. I want to start out evangelistically for at least for this revival series. And then later on, after I've been here for a few years, I may pick mm-hmm. a person who can come in and really who has the strength of like a Dr. John Bowler, who might come in and preach about discipleship or something like that for an extended period of time. But I'm all in evangelistically on this one.
All right. All right. So now you've discussed that. I want to talk about something that I started doing a number of years ago, which was if we have five services, Sunday morning through Wednesday night, getting five different speakers to come. So I really like that dynamic. What I've learned is preachers may not have five good sermons, but buddy, they got one humdinger. And so I'll call them and say, can you come and preach one? I want the best you got. Well, is there a theme? No, ain't no theme. Come preach the best you got,
man.
The
theme is preach your best sermon.
That is right. And so in doing that, it does give some freedom. The freedom is the Sunday night through Tuesday night. So right now in our time, most pastors are expected to be in the pulpit of the church they pastor Sunday morning and Wednesday night, especially Sunday morning. But if you're doing different guys, you can get, if you're getting different speakers, you can get a Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night guy who has no responsibilities on those evenings. A lot of our churches don't have Sunday PM services anymore. And so there are pastors who there's nowhere they have to be. Now, in doing that, you do have to be more specific in the Sunday morning service. You have to get somebody almost like a Ronald Meeks, who is his full-time job, Blue Mountain Christian University, and he may be an interim pastor somewhere. He may be filling the pulpit somewhere, but he has more freedom on Sunday mornings. Most pastors don't want to give up that Sunday morning at their church, but you can get them for Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, you know, something like that. So that's kind of what I do.
Yeah. And I think that's true. I love the aspect of having different preachers too. Mm-hmm. because, you know, somehow God kind of works it all together.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like whatever the one preaches on Sunday morning, it's just going to kind of roll right into whoever preaches on Sunday night or Wednesday night.
Yeah.
God just makes that happen.
Yeah. Hold that thought. I want to start well and finish well. Sunday morning, Wednesday night are the two that I really want to be top notch. Now, I hope every service right. people leave and say, that's the best sermon I've ever heard. Oh my goodness, it spoke to my heart. But I really want to start well, end well. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you remember that time when we were at Blue Mountain? Dr. Meeks used to plan these student revivals. Mm-hmm. You know, a church would call and say, hey, we want a student to come and we want to have a student revival.
Yeah.
Preachers, send us preachers.
Yeah.
You pick who it is and what day they're coming.
Yeah.
And me and at least four other people were chosen to go preach at New Home Baptist Church.
Oh, yeah. In the Auburn community?
No.
A different new home. Oh, in Itawamba County.
In Itawamba County.
What's his face? Mike was the pastor there. Mike.
Exactly.
A good friend of ours. Yep. Mike.
Exactly.
Brother Mike.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Michael Dale Warren.
I see it right there. Mike Warren.
And so I know what I went and preached.
Uh-huh. What'd you go preach?
Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
How about that? So tell us what that passage is.
It's the story of the man who's paralyzed and his friends help him to the house and Jesus heals him.
That's right. That's
every preacher for that preached Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
You're kidding.
No.
All five preachers preached that same passage?
Yes.
You're kidding. Were y'all in an exegesis class or Christian proclamation?
It had to be New Testament. It had to be around the time that Dr. Meeks went through like a New Testament of Mark. But if it wasn't all five, it was at least... At least four of the five.
What are the odds of that?
I think I was the last one. I think I was that Wednesday night. And that night I was like, hey, thank y'all so much. And I remember that I said, y'all turn to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And they went.
they just looking around. And, like you're
and
kidding.
Then they laughed and joked. I didn't find out necessarily about it till years later. I went back and I preached there for a period of time. And I told him, I said, hey, I was one of the students that came and preached.
Yeah.
And then one of them, the guy said, oh yeah, that was that revival where we heard the same sermon
every time. Funny.
And I was like, what? What do you mean?
Yeah.
And they told me the story that it was all of them were the same.
Yeah.
So it was like a legend at New Home.
You know? Oh, wow. All right. So in a situation where you have five different speakers, so at First Senatobia, when we had five different speakers for revival, it was Sean Parker Sunday morning, Ronald Meeks Sunday night, Kenny Digby Monday night, David Hamilton Tuesday night, you Wednesday night. And I would text, like after Sean Parker preached, I text the rest of you four guys, hey, this is what Parker preached. After Meeks preached, I text the rest of three, this is what Meeks preached.
That was good.
Just so that you wouldn't have that question. Oh, I wonder, has anybody preached what I'm planning to preach? You know, so.
Yeah, that was very good. Very helpful.
Yeah. All right. So we pray, we plan, who do we want to come and preach? And we've kind of talked a little bit about what goes on in our minds and in our spirit about who we think would be good. Now let's get to the practical side of we're a pastor who has planned a revival. Now, what do we do with our people, the people of the church?
So I began announcing it about, we're in August right now. We have an app on our phones for Ingomar Baptist Church. I put up the screenshot of fall revival, gave the dates, who was coming, and I put that on our Connect app sometime in probably May or June. That way people could kind of go ahead and see it. They can go ahead and plan. And it really helped too, because there was one group who were going to take a trip. They looked at that and they said, oh no, we got a revival. We're not going to take a trip during that time.
Yeah.
So right now we're in August, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I've had it in our announcements on Sunday morning. We have a video announcement every Sunday morning. And I've had it in the bulletin every other Sunday. Please be praying for Dr. Kenny Digby and our revival services that are coming up in September.
Yeah.
So every other Sunday on August 19th, we'll begin our 40 days of prayer. I've created like this little prayer booklet. Every day it has like August 19th, August 20th, August 21. And I've got it broken down to pray for specific things. So like,
hey, Thomas, did you work this prayer guide up yourself, or is it something you
I did?
Or if there's a pastor friend who is listening to this, can he text you and get that from you? Would
yes,
that be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just reach out to Thomas. That might be a resource that you could utilize at your church.
So for every, it's based off of a recurring pattern of what I want them to pray for. I want us to pray for worship, Marty Hurt worship. I want us to pray for the lost. I want us to pray for spiritual discipline in us. Like, is there things that we need revealed in our life? I want them to pray specifically for Dr. Digby and the messages. I want them to pray specifically for the planning that everything goes well. I want them to pray for volunteers who are going to be working in the sound booth and who are going to be
nursery, just, if you have nursery,
just
around.
Everywhere. Yeah. So we're praying for very specific things, and it happens on a recurring pattern. So like Monday, I don't remember what it is. It's not in front of me. But like Monday is our day to pray for Marty Hurt and the worship team.
Yeah.
Wednesday is our day to pray for Dr. Digby and his sermons and the Holy Spirit to use him. So we're going to do that for 40 days. The last day, the 40th day, is the day the revival begins.
Yeah.
And so that day, our prayer will be, God, use our preparations for your honor and your glory.
Yeah.
And so I just have it listed out in that way because I want us to be intentional about praying for these services. I don't want it to be something that we say, well, we've planned it, and then all about, which happens a lot of times in churches. You plan it, you put so much time in planning it. And you're like, all right, I got it planned. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh man, it's next week. We forgot all about this thing.
Yeah.
And so I want to keep it on the forefront of people's mind and asking God to do what we can't do.
Yeah. All right. So I agree with everything you just said. As you were talking, I was going to share, we want our people to pray and plan. Just like we've been praying and planning, we want our people to pray and plan. You covered that so very well. And the one of the best planning they can do is to plan to be there for every service.
Exactly.
That is so important. Now, let me add a couple of things to what you said, because you went down a very familiar road of what I was going to say. So often revival services really speak to the person in the pew because it's a different flavor. Now you and I are new-ish at our pastorates. I've been at First Synatobia about 2.5 years. You've been here at Engelmar about 1.5 years. So we're still new-ish, but whenever you start reaching that 5-year mark, 6-year mark, people are so very familiar with your pattern, my pattern. We could even do a podcast one day about how we need to change up our patterns from preaching just to let people hear something new. Often in a revival service, another guy will come in with a different voice, with different structure of the way he formats a sermon, with different illustrations, just completely different. And the people will say, oh my goodness, that was so good. And we don't want to say it. You know, his preaching is good. Ain't no better than ours. His preaching is good, but it's different.
Yep.
It's different. So often the difference in the presentation really speaks to the heart of a person. And then I don't say this out loud often, but I say this behind the scenes, especially with staff member approaching revival services. We want to put our best foot forward. We want to put our best foot forward. Often in revival services, there are people who their church doesn't have Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night services. And so you will see an increase in guests on those nights when churches aren't typically having services. We want to put our best foot forward. We want people to come to a revival service and say, oh, wow, well, you know, that it flowed well. That worship leader did a good job. And I know it's difficult. Like for Marty Hurt coming in, he's going to be working with a choir that he's never worked with before,
right,
may never work with again. But still, that's why we're praying. That's why we're planning. And you keep your fingers crossed that all will go well with that evening revival, with their services. But you want someone to leave not talking about a distraction, but you want them to leave talking about a cohesive worship service, how it flowed well. Yes. I agree.
Mm-hmm. David, I would just say that, you know, revival services like we're talking about can be some of the most spiritually significant times in a church. They need a lot of planning. They need a lot of preparation. But ultimately, you just got to let the Lord work, right?
You do.
Because the Lord can do more in a moment than we can plan in a lifetime, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord, what I found in my ministry is that the Lord uses our preparations like these we've been talking about to bring honor and glory to Him. And they've been some of the, like I say, the most spiritually significant times in my ministry.
Yeah, I think that you're right about that. And we want to encourage pastors who listen to us to take these steps. Like we talked about this earlier today, about the stakes. You may prepare things differently, but the end result is the same. So this is a flavor. This is a flair that you can use for your revival services.
And I would just go ahead and say that David has plenty of revival time and he's willing to come to your church at the drop of a hat.
You know what, Thomas? You and I have never tag team preached. Remember, Brother Kenny and Brother Eugene used to tag team preach, and we have never tag team preached a revival, but we need to.
We could do that.
Yeah, we sure could.
Preach. Yeah. Heaven and hell.
That's it. Yeah, I'd preach the opening 20 minutes, you the closing 20 minutes, or vice versa. We tag in, tag out.
Oh, so, that'd be a lot of fun.
Man, it would be.
The Bald Brothers.
Yeah. Dude, their hair has left so quick, man. We're as bald as can be.
But we've got more personality now.
That's right. You know, some dudes are blessed with good looks, and there's me and you with all this personality.
Thank y'all so much for listening to the Ministry Marks podcast. We hope that your preparations and revival planning yield the spiritual fruit that God has planned for you. We'd like to know what y'all do as well. What do you do to plan for these revival services that your church may have? What has people done in the past? What do you like about revival services? Just help us continue the conversation on Facebook. Shoot us a text if you'd like. Again, thank you all for listening. We'll see you again next time.